In 1974, there was a country and western singer that sang about humility. His name was Mac Davis. I don't know if you remember this song or not, but the first words of this song are, I'm not going to sing it. Oh Lord, it's hard to be humble. Now, do you remember it? Now, nothing biblical about that song whatsoever from on those two words or three or four words there. But, oh Lord, it's hard to be humble. That holds true, doesn't it? That does hold true. This evening, I'd like to talk with you this evening about humility. And specifically, we're going to be looking at the first and second chapters of the book of Philippians. Oh Lord, it's hard to be humble. If you would turn with me to Philippians, we're going to start in chapter 1 and read verses 27 through to 11. We're going to break it down a little bit here and there and jump into chapter 3 at the end and pull some things. But I want to give you seven aspects of humility from this text this evening. Seven aspects of humility. So read with me, starting in Philippians chapter 1 and verse 27. Only let your conduct be worthy of the gospel of Christ, so that whether I come and see you or am absent, I may hear of your affairs, that you stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel, and not in any way terrified by your adversaries, which is to them a proof of perdition, but to you of salvation, and that from God. For to you it has been granted on behalf of Christ, not only to believe in him, but also to suffer for his sake, having the same conflict which you saw in me and now hear in me. Chapter 2. Therefore, if there is any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any affection and mercy, fulfill my joy by being like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind let each esteem others better than himself. Let each of you look out not only for his own interests, but also for the interests of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant, and coming in the likeness of men, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. Therefore God also has highly exalted him and given him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of those in heaven, and of those on earth, and of those under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Oh Lord, it's hard to be humble. Pride is such a challenging sin to overcome because of the feeling that it gives a man or a woman. It makes us strong, we tend to think. But humility is not feeling strong, is it? We don't think. But rather it makes us feel as though we're weak if we humble ourselves. And this is not how the Scriptures would put it. But rather there is power in humility. And God expects us as Christians to carry on with humility in our Christian walk. So verse 27, I'd like to start there of chapter 1. Humility is living in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ. Paul says here, only let your conduct be worthy of the gospel of Christ. Only let your conduct be worthy of the gospel of Christ. He's making a very strong point here. You've got to walk worthy of the gospel. You've got to have this humility to do this. It's not about you, but rather it's walking like Jesus. So the walk in the footsteps of Jesus Christ is a humbling journey, isn't it? To walk as Jesus Christ walked is a humbling journey. Because we read on here, Jesus humbled himself, even as a man, came to this earth, and his journey on this earth was humbling. And if we are to walk worthy of the gospel, we are going to walk as he did. Peter would tell us in 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 15 and 16, but as he who called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct, because it is written, be holy, for I am holy. This is how God expects us to walk. As Jesus Christ was holy, we should likewise humble ourselves to the extent that we can become holy like he is holy. Turn with me to 1 Peter chapter 4 and verses 1 through 4. It's not easy. Lord, it's hard to be humble, and therefore, since Christ suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourselves also with the same mind. For he who has suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin, that he no longer should live the rest of his time in the flesh for the lusts of men, but for the will of God. For we have spent enough of our past lifetime in doing the will of the Gentiles when we walked in lewdness, lusts, drunkenness, revelries, drinking parties, and abominable idolatries. In regard to these things, they think it's strange that you do not run with them in the same flood of dissipation, speaking evil of you. Lord, it's hard to humble myself, to walk as Jesus Christ did. Why? Because we have desires of the flesh, don't we? We have those things that we desire. James talks about those desires that we have then being conceived into sin, and then sin brings forth death. We have those desires that are with us, and walking humbly with our Lord is overcoming those desires. We have the habits of the old life that we have to overcome. And not only that, we have the peers of the time past that are trying to influence us to not live and walk a walk of holiness. Lord, it's hard to humble myself to walk as you do, but he expects us to do so. Colossians chapter 1, verses 9 through 10 expands on this a little bit more. Living a manner of the gospel of Christ is humility. Colossians 1, 9 through 10. There we go. For this reason, we also, since the day we heard about it, do not cease to pray for you and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of His will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing Him, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. Being filled with the knowledge is something that is humbling also. We have to recognize that we need something. We need something of God. We need to understand Him more perfectly. And being filled with the knowledge is to, A, as the Scripture says, to walk worthy of the Lord. It is, secondly, to please Him. And if we are being fruitful in these things, then, fourthly, we will continue to increase in the knowledge of God. Humility is living in as a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ. Now, Micah chapter 6 and verse 8 says, He has shown you, O man, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you but to do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God? That is what God requires of me, is to walk worthy of the gospel of Christ. One more scripture here on this first point, that humility is living in manner worthy of the gospel. And that comes from Psalm chapter 50. Psalm chapter 50, verses 22 and, 22 and 23. There it is. Now consider this, you who forget God, lest I tear you to pieces and there be none to deliver. Whoever offers praise glorifies me, and to him who orders his conduct aright, I will show the salvation of God. To him who orders his conduct aright. Let's break that down. Or lives a life with stability and faithfulness. To the person who orders his conduct aright, he is focused on walking worthy of the gospel of Christ. He is living with faithfulness and stability. We need to do all for the purpose of Christ and not for my prideful self. So point number one, walk worthy. Humility is walking, is living in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ. Secondly, let's go back to Philippians 2 again. Philippians chapter 2 and verse 3 and then verses 5 through 7. It says, "Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself. And let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant, and coming in the likeness of men." Humility is emptying yourself. Emptying yourself. Okay? So that you can serve. And we're going to talk about that one in a minute too. You know, self takes the place of Christ. If I'm focused on me, I'm taking the place of Christ Jesus. Emptying self is allowing Him, humbling ourselves. Humility is emptying ourselves. If we are allowing Christ then to work in my life, it's such a beautiful thing. But if I'm focused on me, not very pretty. Self takes place of Christ. Self makes me feel as though I'm entitled. I'm entitled to this. I'm entitled to that. It's about me. It's about serving me. How much do you get bent out of shape when someone does something that you dislike? You're thinking about self instead of emptying self. How defensive of self are you? The Scripture rather tells us to do nothing out of selfishness, doesn't it? Let's look at James chapter 3. In verses 13 through 16, says, "Who is wise and understanding among you? Let him show by good conduct that his works are done in the meekness of wisdom. But if you have bitter envy and self-seeking in your hearts, do not boast and lie against the truth. This wisdom does not descend from above, but is earthly, sensual, and demonic. For where envy and self-seeking exist, confusion and every evil thing are there. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure and peaceable, gentle, willing to yield, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy." Self-seeking or selfish ambition, it may be translated that way too, is warned against numerous times in the Scripture. Proverbs chapter 23 and verse 6 says, "Do not eat the bread of a selfish man or desire his delicacies." Romans 2, 8 and 9, "But to those who are selfishly ambitious and do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness, wrath and indignation, there will be tribulation and distress for every soul of man who does evil." Selfish ambition is not a good thing to have. 2 Corinthians 12 and 20 says, "For I fear lest when I come I shall not find you such as I wish, and that I shall be found by you such as you do not wish, lest there be contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, backbitings, whisperings, conceits, tumults." Paul did not want to find them in this manner with selfish ambitions because they're not good. And he also says in Galatians 5, 19 through 20, "Now the works of the flesh are evident, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness," on and on. And it says also their selfishness. Just as I told you beforehand in times past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. Humility is emptying self. Humility is allowing self to not rule your life. Now, back to Philippians chapter 2 again, and specifically verse 3, the latter part of that. (Clears throat) It says there to let, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than themselves. So we have to empty ourselves, but when we empty ourselves, what are we going to do about that? We need to make sure that we are concerned. Humility is being concerned about others' interests before your own. That's a tough one. Because I got to take care of me and my own. Right? That's what's important. But God would expect me to think about you before me. Empty myself and think about others. It says in Romans 12 and 10, be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love and honor, giving preference to one another. You see, humble people are more concerned about other people than about themselves. Humble people go out of their way to meet the needs of others rather than wanting their needs to be met. Have you ever known somebody that just kind of expects their needs to be met no matter what? They're not a very humble person. They're a very selfish person. And they're not a very likable person because they're so self-consumed. But God would expect me to empty myself and be thinking about others and being able to give to them. Jude chapter 12 got big. Jude 12 says it's talking about selfish people here and talking about those individuals that are thinking about only themselves whenever it comes to spiritual things even. And it says this about them. They are clouds without water, trees without fruit, raging waves. If you think about raging waves, they're destructive, okay? And wandering stars. There's nothing good about them, okay? A selfish man is a useless man. Selfish man is a useless man, but rather a humble man is a useful man, willing to give himself for others. 1 Peter 4:10 says that each one has received a gift. Minister it to one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. In Proverbs 13:7, there is one who makes himself rich, yet he has nothing. And one who makes himself poor, yet he has great riches. If I am humbling myself to the extent that I am emptying me out for you, there's great riches in that. There's great blessings in being able to give to one another. Back to Philippians chapter 2, verses 7 and 8. So we've talked about how humility is emptying self and how humility is being concerned for others' interests before your own. Now we're going to see that Philippians will tell us, Paul would tell us here that we need to have a servant's attitude. So 2, verses 7 and 8. But he made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant, and coming in the likeness of men, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. Christ was willing to take all the sins of the world, every one of them, so that we might be free from sin. And he did this on his own initiative. No man helped Christ make this decision. No man pressured him in any way to do this. And it even says in John, and Jesus said this in John chapter 10, verses 17 and 18. He said, therefore, my Father loves me because I lay down my life that I may take it again. And no one takes it from me, but I lay it down of myself. And I have the power to lay it down and I have the power to take it again. And this is the command I have received from my Father. Yes, the Father gave him the command to do so, but of his own will, he laid his life down for us. This was a servant attitude. I can force my children to do things, but if they're not willing to do them with a good attitude, sometimes they don't do the best job. Right, son? Yeah, he's waving at me. Yeah? Yeah? They may do the job, but may not do it to its entirety, as Dad expects. It's the same way with God. If we are just kind of got this attitude about serving and giving to others and having a the nasty, unhumble attitude, we're not going to do as God expected us. Christ did it willingly, not because somebody pressured him to do it. And because of that, he took it clear to the end, didn't he? Clear to the end for us. Jesus came to serve and not to be served. Can we say that I am willing to humble myself enough to have a servant's attitude? Are we willing to serve because God has told me to serve instead of serving for my own benefit? See, a lot of times we serve to get pleasure from it. We serve somebody else to make me feel better. And that's not what God wants us to do. He rather wants us to serve because He has said, serve others and do it because you love them. So that's where God wants us to go with our service to others. Have a servant's attitude. You, my brothers and sisters, were called to be free, but do not use your freedom to indulge the flesh. Rather, serve one another humbly in love. Galatians chapter 5 and verse 13. So we need humility as having a servant's attitude. Philippians chapter 2 and verse 8 says, "And being found in the appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross." I want to expand here again on this point, in that humility is the willingness to bear the burdens of other sins and fleshliness. Now hear me out. Christ Jesus was willing to take them all, wasn't he? How far are we willing to go to help a brother or help a sister overcome sin in their life? Humility is willingly bearing the burdens of others, helping others in their sin and their fleshliness. Galatians chapter 6, not unknown scriptures to us. Verses 1 and 2, "Brethren, if a man is overtaken in any trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness, considering yourself, lest you also be tempted. Bear one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ." Are you willing to get intimate with one another? Are you willing to into me see? Get it? Into me see, intimacy. Are you willing to see in me so that whenever I have struggles and I have sin in my life, you can start helping me overcome and help bear those burdens and the scruples of the weak? Then we who are strong ought to bear with the scruples of the weak and not to please ourselves, lest let each of us please his neighbor for his good, leading to edification. Romans 15, verses 1 and 2. See, Jesus did whatever it took to set us free. What are you willing to give to help someone else overcome sin in their life? Humility is willingly bearing the burdens of others' sins and fleshliness. Now, let's go back to Philippians and look at chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3 and verse 17. Paul says here, "Brethren, join in following my example, and note those who so walk, as you have us for a pattern." Humility is following an example. Paul says here, follow my example. Truly, what example is he wanting them to follow, though? It's the example of Christ Jesus in his life that Paul is wanting them to follow. Are we willing to follow the examples of strong Christians? To look to them and go, oh, I see. I see how I am to be living. Can we humble ourselves to look to those who have failed and have admitted that, and have repented of that? Think about that. That's a wonderful example to follow. If a man or a woman stands before you and says, I have had this problem, and I've recognized it, and I have repented of it, and help me. Follow the examples of those brethren, because they will help you grow. Are we willing, though, not only to follow the example, but to set the example? That's humility. Humility is following examples. When it comes to elders, Peter says it so well, I think, chapter 5, verses 2 and 3. He says to the brethren there, "Shepherd the flock of God which is among you, serving as overseers, not by compulsion, but willingly, not for dishonest gain, but eagerly, not as being lords over those entrusted to you, but being examples to the flock." This is a command to those men, that they are to set an example that others might follow. Just as Paul said to the brethren in Philippians, "Follow my example." Follow the example of Christ Jesus that they are setting in their life. So, humility is following an example. Lastly, Philippians chapter 3, verses 12 through 15. "Not that I have already attained or am already perfected, but I press on that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Therefore," here's the point, "let us, as many as are mature, have this mind." Have this mind of, I have not come to the point that I have obtained everything and know everything. I've still got a lot of work to do in my spiritual life, right? But he says this, he says, "So all of you that are mature, having this mind," that's good, "and if in anything you think otherwise," so those who think otherwise about this, "God will reveal even this to you." So the last point I want to make about humility is that humility is trusting God to reveal Himself to you. Humble yourself to the extent that you can hear through the Word of God what God is trying to reveal to you about your spiritual walk. If you have a wrong attitude, I'm persuaded God is going to reveal it to you. His Word will convict, it will cut even to the depths of joints and marrow, won't it? And it can do some amazing things. He who exalts himself, God will humble. But God resists the proud, excuse me. He exalts himself. God exalts the humble, but resists the proud. All right? James chapter 4, verses 6 and verse 10. "Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly with all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord." Colossians 3:16. But the point I want to make from that verse is, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Allow God to reveal himself to you. Humble yourself to that extent. Humbling to God's word will have a huge impact on your life. In 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 5 through 7, as I wind down, says here, "Likewise, you younger people, submit yourselves to your elders. Yes, all of you be submissive to one another, and be clothed with humility. For God resists the proud and gives grace to the humble." There it is, I got it right. "Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you." Are you clothing yourself with humility? Casting your cares upon him. Being able to say that I am living a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ. I'm filled with the knowledge of his will because of that. Am I saying that I have emptied myself? I'm concerned about others' interests above my own. I have a servant's attitude. I'm willing to bear the burdens of others and help them in their sins and overcome them. I'm following the example that Paul set the example of Christ Jesus and following those examples of good Christian brothers and sisters and allowing God to reveal Himself to me. That's what humility is. Seven aspects of humility. But one more thing. Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Brethren, one of the greatest aspects of humility is that we can find rest in it. We can overcome so many issues in our life if we are just willing to humble to the mighty hand of God. Giving ourselves to Him and allowing Him to work in me, He will give you rest. We can't have that rest without Christ Jesus, so He says, come to me. And if there's anyone here this evening who has not humbled themselves, what a humbling experience to get into that water and allow God to work in that baptism, taking away my sins. It's a humbling experience. And if you have not partaken in that, you have not received the Spirit which gives you the power to work on this earth as God wants you to. And have a humble attitude. Come if you need anything this evening.